Why did Jesus separately consecrate the bread and wine? Because he was thus offering himself with his human will. Get it? With his human will to die on the cross by separately signifying what would happen on the cross when his blood and body would separate and thereby cause his death. Christ could not die of any disease or virus from within, which faith tells us our own, again Augustine. Shall I call man's life on earth a living death or a dying life? Remember? Immortal because? Why? Because we're sinners. Was Christ mortal? Yes, by choice. Only choice we can make is to, well, voluntarily accept the inevitable. Christ bled to death. Moreover, Christ's death had to be inflicted from the outside, his suffering, and finally his crucifixion. That's why it is the passion of Christ. The Latin verb pati means to suffer. Yes, but the Latins are much more careful and clear when they use words, to say the least, than we are. Pati means to suffer, but to suffer. Suffer pain inflicted from outside and not from the inside. Christ suffered indeed internally. But his suffering was caused by hostile forces. And this needs to be said, by hostile human forces. Christ at the Last Supper was instituting the Holy Eucharist. As our present Holy Father makes so clear, he was instituting the Holy Eucharist three times over as the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist, as the communion sacrament, and with a resounding emphasis as the presence sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Remember, on each of these levels, the Eucharist is a sacrament. It's a channel of grace. The sacrifice of the Mass, hear it, is also the sacrament of the Mass. Do you hear me? It confers grace. As more than one great devotee of the Holy Eucharist has written, when I remember especially whole book on the subject, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, the world would long ago have been destroyed for its sins except for the continual sacrifice of the Mass being offered on thousands of altars every day. The sacrifice of the Mass is the sacrament of the Mass. That confers grace on the whole sinful world. communion is sacrament. Most Catholics, I think I should say it, I'm afraid, if you ask them what the Eucharist is, well, the sacrament of the Eucharist is Holy Communion. All right. Is that all? Now, what else? Is that all? What else? All right. You get 33% grade. You're one-third correct. But, and with all the emphasis at my disposal, Christ instituted the presence sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. One Catholic church after another, becoming tabernacle-less. Did you know that? Pew-less. Kneeler-less. In 1986 and again in 87, I was called to Rome by the Holy Father's secretary. I had two meetings each time, altogether about 4 hours. Holy Father is deeply concerned over the widespread neglect of adoration of the Holy Eucharist. Two documents came out in that period in the United States Catholic Conference in Washington. Within 1 year, 40 dioceses had wiped out all Eucharistic adoration in all parishes in those dioceses. I cannot tell you what joy it gives me to know that you have, thank God, and never let a nuclear bomb drop on your abbey before you stop having Eucharistic adoration. But that is not all. Not only did our Lord institute the Holy Eucharist as we've just described it, at the Last Supper, Jesus also instituted the sacrament of the priesthood. Did you know that, my dear friends? Oh, what a string of exegetes, pardon me, eisegetes, I could identify. I think I should say this. A meeting of Catholic and Protestant theologians we were having in Chicago, about 100, at the Old Day meeting. I didn't tell you this story, did I? The keynote speaker was Richard McBrien. And he spoke for 1 hour, eloquently, on the priesthood. And the thesis of his paper was that Christ did not institute the sacrament of the priesthood until later, second and third century development. So, when he finished, everybody, but one man, applauded. I waited for somebody to, well, make some objections. All kinds of trivial questions. Not questioning what McBride had been telling the audience. I was taking notes during his peroration. So after about 10 minutes, I got up. Had been on the stage before he entered the Society of Jesus. I turned my back to McBrien. And I talked to the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, some women theologians. Everything which Father McBrien has told you in the last hour is heresy. Went down point for a point, condemned by the Catholic Church, especially by the Council of Trent. Then I smiled at the Reverend Richard McBrien and sat down. He didn't smile. What then did our Lord do with the Last Supper? The Church teaches infallibly that Christ instituted the sacrament of the priesthood on Holy Thursday night, and specifically, in the words he spoke to the apostles, "Do this in commemoration of me." What then did the Savior do? He ordained his apostles bishops, and thus gave them the power to ordain other men as bishops and priests. What did Christ do? He showed them how they were to follow his example in separately consecrating the bread and wine, so that in each Mass Christ is literally renewing his sacrifice of the cross. I have taught Eucharistic theology for too many years not to know, in the last analysis, it is our faith to believe. But our faith should be intelligible. How, we ask, is that possible? How is it possible? Because in the Mass, it is the same Jesus with the same body and blood and with resounding emphasis and the same human will that he had on Calvary. Sacrifice, by the Church's definition, is the surrender of something precious to God. What precious possession did Christ sacrifice on the cross? Of course, his human life. But the heart of the sacrifice was not Christ's death. The heart of the sacrifice was his free will. Voluntarily, willingly, freely, lovingly, surrendering his human life to his Heavenly Father. Over the years, I found various examples to try to make this clear, at least as clear as a mystery can be. Until the recent liberation of the people from Russia, Poland, and Slovakia. These countries were under communist domination. My own blood relatives. Suppose a teacher from one of the schools, say, in Slovakia, forbidden by law, never teach religion, or least of all Christianity. Suppose the teacher, behind closed doors, told the young students, now, here's the way you make the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Taught them the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Told them about Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I would ask, have to ask for water. Suppose this teacher reported that one of his students taken into custody that's what I call generosity suppose this teacher were hailed into court and condemned to death and the night before he was to be executed he was reprieved and released. Suppose that happened 6 more times. By the 7th time, the judge said, look, this is too much, and was finally executed. Question. How many times did that man die a martyr's death? 7 times. The essence of sacrifice is in the will. But my friends, we have to believe in the real presence. There must be a real man with a real human soul, with a real human will, who exercises his freedom every time. Would be casually called the sacrifice of the mass is offered. This is the foundation. Not only of the Eucharist or of the priesthood. This is the bedrock of authentic Christianity. By now, Christianity has become a generic term but we, living in our day, in a country whose very laws have been created by people who are not professed Catholics, in an age which justifiably and laudably is ecumenical, as I've mentioned, have been on the faculty of 6 Protestant seminaries. I know Protestants, I love them. But I sure know that Protestantism is not Catholicism. I've been stockpiling parish bulletins from different parts of the country. How seldom will you find the phrase Mass is being offered, or the sacrifice of the Mass. Yes, the Eucharist or the liturgy or the Eucharistic liturgy. No problem. But remember what I said early in the retreat. The English language is not a Catholic language. And we're going to keep even our wits straight and be able to teach the faith unambiguously. We better know what we mean by the words we use. The Last Supper, therefore, is the dividing line between 2 periods of human history. God had been in the world from the dawn of creation. He had to be. My favorite definition of nothing is where God is absent. That God became man, and became man not only they might be able to suffer and die on the cross and thus redeem a sinful world. God became man that he might, and he did this at the Last Supper, that he might both institute the Holy Eucharist and institute the Holy Priesthood, to make his continued presence. Jesus Christ is on earth. And that, dear Lord, how well I know, that is the test of our faith. As priests, to believe that we have the power given by Christ to bring the living Son of God on our altars and have him remain in our midst in the Holy Eucharist. Lord Jesus, on Holy Thursday night you've instituted the sacraments of the Eucharist and the priesthood. Help us, dear Savior, to more deeply understand and appreciate how on Holy Thursday night you instituted those two sacraments which enable you to remain here on earth so that believe your presence in the Holy Eucharist, offering the sacrifice of the Mass as priest and participating in the sacrifice and receiving your body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, we may, dear Savior, prepare for that everlasting Eucharist for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For the grace the Lord is with me. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us that we may be blessed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.